Father, I thank you, Lord, for fellowship hour, even now. And thank you for those who are able to join. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory. We pray that all of us will be strengthened through the comfort of the scriptures throughout our days and whatever our struggles and whatever we're going through. And the Lord will comfort and strengthen everyone. That we will receive courage, grace, and strength to keep standing steadfast in the Lord. And as always, Lord, we declare that the entrance of your word gives light and gives understanding to the simple. So let it be even today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So good morning and welcome everybody. Good afternoon. This is dedicated to everybody that's going through. And sometimes it's one thing or the other. Sometimes it's even worse, severe loss of a family member. You know, we heard in our prayer room today that one of our beloved prayer warriors lost her son, her only son. And I know that from time to time people are going through stuff. And I just want to come out here and encourage us whenever we're going through yours may not be a loss of life, which is the most tragic, but it could be, you know, at different times, it could be sorrowful for whatever reason, you know, maybe because of long standing struggles or fight, you know, against one thing or the other, even, you know, it could be long-awaited hope, you know, that sometimes causes weariness. We don't know, whatever it might be. But I want to come out here today for just a little bit and encourage us with the Word of God that we ought to always stand and not to give up, not to give in, not to cave in, you know. Not to fold our arms or fold up, but keep on trusting and believing God, knowing that the Lord understands it all. Isaiah 43:2 tells us, no matter what you are going through, the Lord will always be there with us. We're passing through difficult times, emotional things too that bring stress and, you know, and crisis for us. Sometimes we wonder, I mean, is God really going to do this for me? And why has he not done it already? Why am I going through these things? Why did God allow this? And the devil will even bring other thoughts at different times. But let us be assured that the steadfast love of God never ceaseth. His mercies never fail. They are new each morning. And we must understand that. When thou passest through the waters, the Lord said in Isaiah 43:2, I will be with thee, and through the rivers they shall not overflow thee. That's a promise. When thou walkest through the fire, thou shalt not be burned, neither shall the flame kindle upon thee. But sometimes we are burnt, it looks like. Sometimes it looks like we are overwhelmed. And we must use the word of God and encourage ourselves to bounce back in the name of the Lord. And I want to let you know that the Lord said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And sometimes it may seem like that, but it's our mind and it's all the devil and everything else that's going on around us. The word of God is sure to us that the Lord is always there. And so let's just encourage ourselves with a few words and a few scriptures today. And we're going through and how you must be resilient in your faith throughout the crisis or situation, whatever is going on. We got to be resilient through it all. And it's not something we can do in our strength, but the grace of Almighty God is with us to see us through. You know, from all the stories that we've read in the Bible, we see the struggles that people have been through. And we've seen sometimes many years pass from the time that God would speak a promise to someone. Now, before, you know, the realization of that thing, Abraham was a good example. Many years passed, you know, but he kept believing God. And at the end of it all, we see the goodness of the Lord come to pass. Doesn't matter how long, you know, how long we gotta wait. We don't know. I don't know. We hope that, you know, many of these things that we're believing God for come quickly. But Jesus said, you know, we ought always to pray and not to faint in Luke chapter 18 and verse 1. No matter how long it takes, you stay right there. You don't give in and you don't give up. And some of us are facing situations emotionally, in relationships, in jobs, in even your establishment in this land. Some people are going through various things. You know, you moved to some place and you thought by now you'd be settled, but still not, and all kinds of things. But I guarantee you, the Lord is working on your behalf, and it will come to pass that which the Lord has spoken. And we must stand fast and be unmovable. How do we stand fast and be unmovable, therefore? Well, through the Word of God. You know, there are so many things that can cause us to cause our hearts to fear. So many things that can cause our position to shake or shift. But you must reassert your position in the Lord every day and even moment by moment, through the Word of God and through encouragement of the Scriptures, the Holy Spirit, and also support, you know, from others that we get. You know, it's a sad thing when somebody is going through and they have to go through it all by themselves and have no support. And sometimes people actually do that. You know, when they're going through, they withdraw. And, you know, unfortunately, that's the wrong thing to do, because it only will make the situation heavier. There is no battle that we are going through that we can fight alone, all by ourselves. You know, sometimes we need help in order for you to be able to stand. You may have to have help. Praise the Lord. But why not? If we withdraw on your own, you become an easier target, you know, for the devil. We've read the stories, you know, of in the Bible, you know, different times that, you know, God had to show us an example. In the stories of the battles of Joshua, Moses, etc., you know, and trying to gather the land, you know, Moses, you know, when he was on the mount, we see that he was, when he raised his hands, the Bible said, you know, that he was, Joshua was able to get the victory, but as his arms got tired, you know, Joshua started to lose. And something remarkable happened when two persons, Aaron and Hur, understood what was going on, and they came underneath the arms of Moses and propped them up to allow Israel to continue to prevail. The story is in Exodus 17, you know, and I want to just read a portion of it to us. You know, let me read from verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, choose out men that will go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. So Joshua did as Moses said unto him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when Moses held up his hand, that Israel and Joshua in the valley below prevailed. But when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. You know, he couldn't hold them up. As long as he was able to hold up the arms, the rod of God, and hold out and stretch forth his arms toward the Lord, Joshua and Israel were prevailing in the fight. When he let down his hands, because his hands were heavy, they started to lose. And when Aaron and Hur understood this, well, they went and took up a stone and put it underneath him, allowed him to sit, and then Aaron and Hur held up his hands for him, the one on the one hand and the other on the other hand. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said, write this for a memorial in a book and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out remembrance of Amalek under the heaven. Well, write it for a memorial and a book. Well, we have it in this book today. But I'm not talking about the erasing of Amalek, but I'm talking about the collaboration in prayers. For you to stand, others must stand with you and help you to raise up the hands that are hanging down, the knees that are feeble at different times. So we encourage everyone, you know, not to try to go through it alone. You know, the devil likes that when we separate. As I've often said, you know, we see it in nature as well. And the prowler is looking at the group of deer and he doesn't know which one to attack. I've seen it. They crouch. It's maybe a lion, maybe a tiger, maybe a leopard. Crouching, getting ever so closer, but, you know, you can't really figure out. They get together like that in a group and watching each other's back, one another's back. And the prowler is waiting patiently, though, looking for whom he may devour, the scripture says. But unfortunately for the one single deer that moves away from that pack, wanders out from the group, then the prowler will zero in on that one. And unfortunately, he's not going to make it, because he's going to get him, because he wandered away from the group. Now, it's important for us to stay close together and help one another with prayers and the raising up of holy hands. Paul said, command that everywhere, exhort everywhere, lift up holy hands, just like Moses was doing on behalf of all our brethren, and get help when one person is going through, we surround them with help. And for the person that's going through, well, help is near. Praise God. I want to say that our God will come and he will save you. He will save you. So don't give up. Praise God. Jesus said, but, you know, when he does come, though, will he find you still at the point of believing? We see that story in Luke chapter 18, verses 1 to 8. It's interesting how people do give up at times, you know, when they've been waiting, and praying. But most of the time when people are praying and waiting for something and believing God for something, they give up when the answer is just around the corner. We see the story in Exodus chapter 15. Children of Israel can't come out of Egypt. There was no water. And the water they found was bitter. And then after God took care of that, you know, they started to grumble. But we see that the Bible says that the Lord had prepared for them just around the corner, you know, when they would have just kept on believing just a little bit longer. It says in Exodus 15 and 26, and the Lord telling them he's healed them. You read a little bit further down, we see that he was saying God had prepared for them, you know, oasis, you know, and ponds and different things. Wells of water were just around the corner, but they had given up in their minds. And if they could have just held on a little longer, they would have come to Elim, which they eventually did, but they would not have lost their hope and faith. And they came to Elim, we were told in Exodus 15 and 27. Yeah, there were 12 wells of water that God had prepared. And 70 palm trees were able to camp there. But just before they did, they were complaining about everything. Everything was bitter. But the answer was just around the corner. And we know, you know, that long hope deferred wearies the heart. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 12 says, you know, that hope that is deferred makes the heart to be sick. But when the desire cometh, it is a tree of life. And I want to encourage everybody today, you know, as you are hold out for hope, as you are holding out, don't give up, don't despair, you know. And the soon it's coming. There is a pleasantness that's coming. Your desire is coming to be like a tree of life, this verse says, when it does come, don't give up and don't give in. That's easier said than done many times. Well, you know, it's encouragement, you know, from others that is going to help you to stand and be steadfast and be unmovable. Well, there may be many forces that are trying to move you, jolt you out of kilter, but you can be anchored on the love of Christ. You know, here's how Paul put it this way. In Romans chapter 8, he said, I am persuaded, and I am anchored, and I know that nothing can by any means be able to separate me from the love of God. I might go through these things. He said, if God be for us, he said, who can be against us? The Lord has spared not his own son, but delivered him for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us these things, he asks. In Romans chapter 8, verse 31. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is God that justified? Who is he that condemned? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession continuously for us. Who then, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? When we are anchored on that love, we can be assured that not even tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or the sword, you know, separate us from the love of God. In all these things, he said, we can be more than conquerors through him that loved us. And persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, what you are going through at the moment, or even things yet to come. Doesn't matter whether you are up or down, or any other creature cannot separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So let's assure ourselves with that. It may not feel like that, but repeat his word for you throughout the situation. For everyone that's going through a loss, our hearts reach out to them. We lift them up in prayer, and the Lord will comfort. Say, comfort ye, my people. Speak comfortably to the people of the Lord. The Lord promised to wipe away our tears, but there will be tears. You know, tears of sorrow. One song said, you know, I've had many tears and sorrows. You know, things of yesteryears and even present things that we're going through may bring sorrow. You know, but I pray that everyone's testimony will be like the song that said, well, through it all, I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to depend upon his word. Sometimes it's a family member that is sick, you know, and sometimes some of these attacks just come suddenly out of nowhere. And then you find that your life is thrown into a disarray. You know, one day you're running up and down, hospital today, tomorrow that, this and that, so forth. But we got to hang in there. The Lord will come through for you. Though it seems long, it will not be long. You know, so let's believe God and let's pray for one another too. You know, we know that our God, you know, will come and he will save us. Praise God. You know, want to say to the righteous persons that are in here that it is well with you in the name of Jesus. Want to say to those who have a fearful heart or feeble hands, you know, or weariness are setting, the Lord will strengthen you, and through the prayers of your brethren, it shall be well in the name of Jesus. In the book of Isaiah, chapter 35 and verse 4, say to them that are of a fearful heart or weak heart, be strong, fear not, for behold, your God will come with vengeance and with salvation. You know, and he will come with a recompense, and he will come and he will save you. It's a powerful promise. Everybody ought to hold on when you are going through to this verse in Isaiah 35. Say to them that are of a fearful heart, I say to those that are of a weary heart today, that be strong and stand steadfast in the Lord. Fear not, neither be thou afraid. For the Lord your God will come and save you. Be not dismayed or discouraged. You know, if you give up mentally or spiritually, well, then the devil has the upper hand. But you stand in there, you grind in, you double down on your faith. Praise God. You determine within yourself that the devil will have to go down to hell first before you give up or give in from your position or posture of faith. You stand in there. What is your answer of faith for whatever situation? Well, the answer is, my God will come and he will save me. In the book of, 2 Corinthians, Paul was describing all the things that he was going through. And his response was, well, we are troubled on every side, 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 8, but yet we're not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. We don't give up. We are persecuted, but we're not forsaken. We're cast down, but not destroyed. Well, you know, always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus may be made manifest in our mortal body. Others declared it this way. You know, Micah 7 and 8, he declared it this way. He said, look, there will be times when you feel like the Lord is so far away. There is no help. It looks like you are in darkness. God is not answering. The voice of God is not there. You know, but what are you going to do? What will be your response? Can you still remain steadfast even when it appears that the Lord is far? Well, he's not far. It just appears that way. You know, Micah said, well, rejoice not against me, O my enemy, you know, because I have made up my mind, you know, that no matter what is going on, he said, I know that when I fall, I can arise again. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. Sit in darkness is the moment when the voice of God is nowhere to be heard. You know, when we are in the light, the voice of God is there with us, Holy Spirit telling us things. We are rejoicing in his word. And then some days it's like you are in the dark. You cry, it doesn't look like you're hearing or getting anything. The Lord says to tell you, in those moments, remember what he told you when you were in the light. Hallelujah. And, you know, the moments of darkness will not last forever. Psalm 30 and verse 5. Sorrow may endure through the darkness of the night, but it will not last forever. And we have to train ourselves to get out of it quickly. You know, the longer we allow the devil to, you know, feel like he's got something, you know, the more the impact will be upon us. But don't give the devil the satisfaction of thinking he got anything. He got nothing, and he will never get anything. Thank God that, you know, from a young man many years ago, the Lord showed me how to maintain that posture. I said to the devil, you will get nothing. You will never get anything. Never going to let the devil think he got something. He will get nothing. Praise the Lord. Now, I show the Lord my faith all the time by his grace. But never going to let the devil see me, you know, crying over anything as if he got nothing, as if he got something. He get nothing. Praise God. You know, and always use your faith. Align with the word of God. Call out even what you are not yet seeing. You know, this is how God himself did it. God, we're told, called things that are not as though they already are. And that's the way that we ourselves must do. You know, we are able to say, God who quickeneth the dead, Romans 4 and 17, and calleth those things which be not as though they were. You know, the relief, the answer, the breakthrough that you are waiting for may not be seen presently, but you can call them as though they already are. And rejoice in the victory that you are yet to physically receive. Stand fast in the faith. You know, many blessings that we have told over and over and over in this room remind us of these same things, such as Abraham, who through all of it stood fast. 25 years it took to receive that promise. But he dared to believe, even changed his name to prove it. I will be the father of nations. Yet he had not a single child. But he believed God, and God counted that to him for his righteousness. Until this day, we still speak about that. And God allowed those things. You know, I can't imagine believing God for one particular thing for 25 years, especially something that God blank promised, and something that was even so important. I mean, this was directly in line with God's eternal purpose. And yet, you know, those of us who are participants, the man who was a participant in that thing had to wait 25 years to get it. And 25 years is a long time. That's a quarter of a century. How many people even live to be 100 years old? You know? So, thank God that he lived to be longer than that. But, you know, today, to have to wait for 25 years for something, well, God allowed those stories there to help us. However long it is, you wait for it. And you stand steadfast. And you be unmovable. Don't you let the devil gloat over you that he got you down. You're never going to do it. Praise the Lord. Write the vision, Habakkuk said, and make it plain upon tables that he may run that readeth it. Habakkuk 2:2. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak, and it will not lie. Glory to God. And though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry long. But you know, that may be easier said than done. It looks like it's tarrying long, where you have been waiting 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, 5 years, or 1 month, 2 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, 8 months, 11 months, whatever your situation is. But we got, all we have to go with is the word of God. And God will honor that word eventually, you know. Now, there may be need for us sometimes, you know, to go through this stuff, God to bring out even a greater glory for himself. But he will bring out, you know, these things, and God will glorify himself. There was a man, we were reading about him in John chapter 9. And he went through a lot of stuff for many years. And it was sad, you know, because for 40 years, this man had been blind from his birth. And they asked Jesus in John chapter 9, verse 1, as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from his birth. We found out later that the man was 40 years old. And his disciples asked him, Master, this man's situation, what was the cause of it? Why was he born blind? I mean, was it because of the things that his parents did? His parents' sin? Or was it his own sin? And Jesus said, neither had this man sinned, nor yet his parents. It wasn't their sin that brought this upon them, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. And as I have often said, this is one of the hardest things for me to read and digest in the scriptures. You know, I have to deal with this many times, you know, being a pastor and all, you know, trying to pastor faith for people through the process that they're going through. It's hard sometimes. I mean, why did this man have to suffer for 40 years so that the works of God be made manifest in him? Why? Why couldn't the works of God have been made manifest in him in the first month or so of his suffering and be done with it? But, you know, God knows the answers to that. And on this particular day, when Jesus found this man, God was going to reveal the power of God through the act that Jesus did to show that God can heal situations like this. And he brought glory to God. The works of God through the ministration of Christ to this man. Minister healing to him. We saw that God can do it. But unfortunately, this man and his parents had to deal with that for 40 years. They had to deal with that. Yeah, and sometimes that's so hard for us to understand. Why I got to deal with this thing for so long? You know, well, whatever the reasons are, I don't know sometimes. You know, when we see people going through, we are quick to assume that something must have been wrong, you know, in that, you know, something they did, just like these people here, they assumed it might have been something his parents did or something that he himself did. And Jesus said, no, it wasn't his parents and it wasn't him that did anything. So let's not be quick to assume that something is wrong or somebody has done something wrong when they are going through. You know, people do go through. And God may pull out a greater purpose out of it for his own glory. And all we got to do when you see your brother and your sister going through is to get in under them like Aaron and her and give them something to sit upon, be a support system, you know, and lift them up in prayers, like, you know, through the community prayers, community action, we see that deliverance can come. It's so powerful, you know, when the church get together and pray for one another. It's so powerful. In Acts chapter 12, we see a story like that. How through the prayers of the church, Peter was delivered out of the clutches of Herod that was trying to kill him, put him in prison to bring him out and kill him. Through the prayers of the church, delivered. We got to pray for one another. But individually, you as a person must take a stand. Glory to God. You know, we have responsibilities on either side. The church has responsibilities to pray for its own. And we as brethren, we have responsibilities to pray for one another. But each of us as individuals, we have responsibility to stand. You know, you must take that stand. And don't let the devil think that he got something to gloat over you. I'm going to pray for everyone that's in this room today, and I want us to pray for one another. Challenges that you face, and you know your story. I can't tell everybody's stories in here. Some I know, some I don't know. But whatever your story is, you know, the answer of faith is what you need each time. The answer of faith will be, well, my God will come and save me, or it is well with my soul. But the woman who lost her son died and she carried him, and they said, well, what's the matter? And she said, it is well. But this son was already dead. But her answer of faith, her posture was, it is well with my soul. Well, and it is well, and it will be well in Jesus' name. Say ye to the righteous, it is well with him. Well, we say to you today that it is well with you, but don't give in on your own responsibilities. Stay right there in prayer. And sometimes you may not, you know, I mean, it's good when you are on a fellowship platform such as this. It's good when you're at church. It's good when you're in, you know, maybe prayer meeting and people are praying. But that can only last so long. Most of the day, you're going to be on your own. Nobody around. Well, what do you do at that time? Well, you stand. You know, you stand in the Word of God. You use that word. You speak that word despite how you may feel and despite what you may see. Scripture says we walk not by sight, but by faith. Sight around you, you know, may show that things are falling apart. And things may even be getting worse. And we've seen in throughout the scriptures, sometimes when God promises deliverance, that's when things get actually worse. Sometimes when God gives you a word, that's when things get actually worse. We've seen it many times. We saw it in the life of the children of Israel. They'd been suffering. It wasn't Moses' word that brought them suffering, but Moses' word made it worse. They've been suffering for hundreds of years. But when Moses came there to try to give them hope, it got even worse. Pharaoh said, well, you know, I'm going to make your burdens harder. It just as a response to Moses saying, let my people go. So their situation actually got worse. And people say sometimes it gets worse before it gets better. Well, you know, and the people, they demonstrated a breakdown, I mean, of their posture. They just, you know, complained bitterly all day long. They could not understand what God was doing. Even when God finally brought them out with a high hand, they were still complaining. You know, very, very sad story. We see Jesus, another story that we've alluded to multiple times on this platform. We see Jesus telling his disciples, let us cross over to the other side in Mark chapter 4. And as soon as he gave that word, disciples ought to have known that the, you know, that word would carry them to the other side. But all hell broke loose to attack that word. You know, and so their situation got worse. The storms came up against the boat and everything as if they were going to capsize. But yet the Lord had said, we're going to the other side. You know, so we see that, you know, it's throughout the scriptures, there are many lessons like that. When the word of promise comes, it seems as if, you know, all hell breaks loose. Well, because the devil must fight that word. And the Lord himself will allow that word to be tested. But the devil will also fight it. You know, so what's going to be your answer of faith? Will you dare to believe God and trust him through the process? You know, will you fully and intentionally continue to trust him? That's a good acronym for faith. If you look at it as F-A-I-T-H. Fully and intentionally trusting him. Well, through the process. It's not the process that we're trusting. It's God that we're trusting. You can't trust that process. Our old wily devil, you know, he'll double cross you through the process many times. But we must trust God through the process. Praise God. Knowing that the process, things may change up and down, but our God never changes. He will watch over his word to perform it. And though he tarry long with them, Jesus said, well, let them not give up. I mean, why should God tarry long with them? Why doesn't he just answer speedily? Make no tarrying, oh my God. You know, psalmist and everybody would pray. Why would the Lord allow us to go through stuff knowing that we may cave in? Well, he knows also that you have the ability to not cave in. You know, he has given because he said, there shall no trial or temptation come to you that is beyond your strength. You know, so if God allows it, well, then congratulations. It shows that God has knowledge that you are able to withstand it. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. There is no temptation or test or trial taking you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. He will not suffer you to be tempted or tried beyond your strength. But will the with the temptation and trial or testing, he will make a way to escape so that you may be able to bear it. He has already given us that. If you look from the outside, many times it doesn't seem like it, because many times it looks like if situations are stronger than our strength come upon us. Yeah, but God is telling us that you've actually got this strength. You can draw on inner strength of the scriptures, unlock the power that is inside God's word through your faith in that word. You can bring change to that situation or just stand strong, even if God doesn't change the situation. The children, the friends of Daniel, they said, well, we believe God is going to change the situation. He can and he will. He's able to deliver us and he will deliver us. But even if he does not, our posture remains the same. We will still stand. Ha! Glory to God. That's the posture that I'm praying that we will have, every one of us today. We know and we are persuaded that God can do it. You know, and we expect that he is going to do it. But even if he doesn't do it, or, you know, we don't see it in a timely manner, we must still stand steadfast. And they stood steadfast in the penalty of death. And, you know, the king was so angry that they were so defiant. And it's like he gave them a second chance. Look, I've heard it said of you guys that this and this and this, but show me now. If you will bow down and you hear my music, bow down to my gods. It will be well with you. You know? And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. Got so angry, he cracked up the thing seven times more. But the young man said, well, you can crank it up all you want. We will not bow. God's coming to save us, and he will. But even if he doesn't, see, so that's a good posture. We know that God is able to help us and resolve this situation, the crisis, whatever you're going through. God can do it, even healing. And we know he will do it. We embrace it. We know he's going to do it. Not only can he do it, we know he's going to do it. However, while we are waiting, and it seems like he's not going to do it, you know, we're still not going to change our situation. We're not going to change your word. Stay right there with it. You know, stay with it. Praise God. Holy Spirit will show you what to do too. But you stay right there in the posture of faith. And don't give in and don't give up. And I'm going to pray over everyone that's in the room here today. People go through stuff, you know. Somebody asked me yesterday, said, well, throughout your journey, how are you able to stand where there are moments of discouragement and stuff? And I said, no. And it's the truth. It's not that, you know, it's not that I've not been through or I don't go through stuff, but I have made up my mind. My mind was made up a long time ago, just like this young man. My made up, you know. Job said, though he slay me, yet will I praise him. You just make up your mind. It's made up. Peter made up his mind. He said, where shall we go? You are the one that has the words of eternal life. When Peter messed up, he went right back to the Lord. You can't run away from him just because you messed up. You got to go right back to him. Praise God. You know, so I made up my mind a long time ago. You know, that look, you can throw everything at me, kitchen sink included. But number one, I've got the shield of faith. I can quench a lot of fairy darts. You know, I can quench those things. Praise God by faith. And you put up your shield of faith. You can quench anything the devil throws at you. But even if you fail to quench it, well, what's going to be your posture? That's what we are talking about today. You must stand. Having done all, stand. Stand, therefore, Paul said. Don't let the devil think he got one over you. I'll be praying for you today and every day that the Lord will give you the grace to stand. Your posture must be one of standing. And anytime I hear that people said, you know, that people say, well, I'm believing God, I'm standing no matter what. My heart just leaps for joy. You know, praise God. But that's what God wants to hear. And that's what God wants to see. You know, no matter what, even though it looks like it's going a opposite direction, I'm going to stand. I'm going to believe God. When you say it like that, you know, the Lord say, yeah, there you have it. Praise God. You know, he's looking. The word of God is tried. That word of promise that he gave you will be tried too. You'll see of what stuff you're made of. Now, God allows trials to make us stronger. The devil, on the other hand, he looks for openings to make us weaker. He will look for your weak things and tempt you in those areas. God doesn't. God tries you at your strongest point. You know, the point where you are already strong, or, you know, and he would make you stronger. The devil look for your weaknesses. And so, but we must stand in the Lord. I want to hear everyone say, and God wants to hear it too, that, you know, having done all, I'm still standing. And you can be that last man standing. No matter what, you're still standing on the promises of God. Whether it looks good or doesn't look good, I'm going to stand on the word of God. And declare the word of God. Just keep declaring it. No matter what you're going through, you stay right there with it. You know, it takes practice, though. It's not easy initially, but after a while, you know, after years of doing it, it can become second nature. You just do it no matter what. You stand right there. Praise God. My prayer is that you will not have to find out whether you can stand it or not. I pray that you will be able to stand it, but let's not find out. I don't want anyone to have situation that is overwhelming in order for us to find out whether they can stand or not. I pray that you will stand. But we don't need to have to find out. The Lord give you grace and give you peace and rest from all sides. God can do that too. We've seen situations where he gives some people rest from all their fears or their battles or their wars and so forth. Give them some rest for some years. And they had quietness and rest all around. And may the Lord give you quietness and rest. And should there be trouble, stand fast. And stand steadfast and unmovable in the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Father, I pray for all your children that are in the house today listening right now or might listen later on to the replay. That Lord, grant them the grace to stand fast no matter what. I pray also that there be many situations that the Lord will remove, hallelujah, to bring peace to your people. But even when it is not removed, we can still have peace, even in that situation. And through the storm, we can have peace. My peace I leave with you, John 14:27. Not as the world gives, but my peace, hallelujah. Peace that God has left with us through Christ. He paid for it. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him. I pray that everybody will receive the grace from that chastisement that Jesus took. For he purchased our peace. Glory to God. Paid for it with all those beatings that he took. Thank you, Father. I pray peace into this. Speak peace, comfort ye, and peace to the lives of God's children. And should there be any troubled waters, should there be any trouble on the left, on the right, or whatever, even during the eye of the storm, I pray that God will grant you the grace to stand strong. Hallelujah. Knowing that this too shall pass. It's just a storm. And it will pass. It can't last forever. You're coming out to that other side, just like Jesus said. I pray for grace for everyone that's going through. And for those who have just lost loved ones. We heard in the prayer room of our prayer warriors, a beloved sister lost her son, her only son. Heard it just this morning. I pray for her. I lift her up before you, Lord. In the name of Jesus, glory to God. Bring strength and grace for that situation, Lord. It can be very, 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 very painful to go through that. But our God is faithful and he'll pull you through it. Praise God. And I pray that the grace of God will be upon all of us to pray for one another, to lift one another up. And Jesus himself said, pray too that you enter not into temptation that, you know, will trip you. And sometimes you say, well, everything is going well now. Well, you never know. Right around the corner, there may be some trouble. You know, pray and be prayed up. Praise God. Before, during, and after, we need to stay prayed up and pray for one another through whatever process we're going through. Praise the Lord. Father, glorify thyself in the lives of your children by causing the heads that are bowed down to be lifted up, by putting the words of faith in our hearts to remind us of the things that you have spoken to us as you promised the Holy Spirit will, and giving us the grace to stand. I pray, Lord, that the hands that are hanging down today will be lifted up, the knees that are feeble, prayed and we're weary now. I pray strength in Jesus' name. And make no tarrying, oh my God, come through for your people. My God will come and he will save you. I say to everyone that's weary in the room today of being wearied through the process, the Lord grant you the grace and strength in Jesus' name. May these words be a lifted upper for you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen and amen.